Let's get our Bibles tonight. We're going to go back to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Praise the Lord. I was trying to rope an evangelist into being here tonight. And since he couldn't be here, wouldn't be here, didn't want to be here, refused to be here, whatever. It's just me. We're going back to Romans 8. Praise God. I will announce that Brother Barrier is going to be with us first weekend of May, and so he will be with us. That is not what I want. I want this. Praise the Lord. Brother Barrier will be with us May the 4th, and then also that Wednesday night, May the 7th. Praise God. So, looking forward to that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be it that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Praise God. We explored this a little bit a couple of weeks ago. We began a little series on the spiritual man, and we've done it a couple of different times, and so we are on part 3. And so we're just going to do the spiritual man part 3 tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to help us here today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your voice unto the Lord and help me pray here today. Heavenly Father, we praise you and magnify you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise today. Hallelujah. Jesus, would you help us here tonight? Would you help us here tonight? Would you pour out your Spirit, Lord Jesus? Would you open up revelation and enlightenment unto us tonight? Would you talk to our hearts, O God? Would you deal with our souls? Would you minister unto our hearts and our minds, O Lord Jesus? Move in this place tonight, God, and we will be quick to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you. And you may be seated here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body. And so we have come to an understanding that we are completely complete in God, made up of three parts. These three parts are categorized into two areas, and this is where we get the spiritual man, the physical man, and we understand that we are made completely comprised of spirit, soul, and body. Praise God. In lesson number 1, we began to look into the first Adam and the second Adam. And we know that Adam and Eve felt the wrath of the devil as simply because that God loved them. And the fact that God loves you simply means that the devil hates you. And hate is not just an emotion for him, because part of his definition and his agenda is that he is going to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. And we know that the second Adam would come. The Bible declares it. Jesus was this second Adam, and he was in the crosshairs of the devil from the beginning. And we know that Adam sinned. And we know that Jesus, though that he was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin, did not sin. Adam did what he wanted to do. Standing there with Eve, the Bible tells us that Adam was the one that was deceived. 1 Timothy 2:14. And the Bible says that Jesus refrained from his will, even as he would pray, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done." And so in the book of Romans chapter number 5, amen, he said that it is because of the work of Christ that we have power over the devil, as is stated there, "By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Praise God. And so this is the culmination there of the lesson number one. We finished it off with Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 19, where Jesus said, "Behold, I shall give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And we understand that those two words of power are different Greek words. One is the exousia and the other is the dunamis. One means the ability and the other means the authority. And so Jesus said, "I give you authority over all the ability of the devil." And this lets us know that you do not have to succumb to hell's onslaught. You do not have to give in to the temptations of the devil. You do not have to do it. God has given you the authority over all ability that the enemy would have. Praise God. And we need to remember that, and we need to exercise that. Amen. And Jesus used that authority over the enemy, amen, by simply telling the devil, "It is written," and then finally saying, "Get thee behind me." And so he used his authority over the devil's ability. In lesson two, we began to get into engaging in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And so we pulled it out and declared that in the scriptures that God makes it very, very personal, and that we need to take it personal. We need to be able to apply it individually. Amen. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And we are the ones that have to cast down imaginations and bring every high thing, every thought into obedience, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. We've got to do these things. I cannot get into your mind and take down these imaginations. I cannot get into your mind and begin to control your thoughts and begin to say, "Hey, you know what? That thought isn't good. You need to bring that into captivity. I don't know what you're thinking unless you speak it." Amen. And so you've got to take authority over it. When the devil comes against you and begins to war against your
mind. Amen. You've got to take authority over it and say, these thoughts cannot be in my mind. I will not allow them to have residence in my mind. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are. And he began to talk about the things that we should be able to think upon. The good things, the honest things, the true things. Amen. The just things, the pure things, the lovely things. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think upon these things. I don't think it's coincidental, amen, when somebody would write a book or begin to pen the colloquialism, amen, that would say the power of positive thinking. Amen. There is a power of positive thinking, but that's not just, amen, humanity, humanistic psychology. Amen. That is a God-given principle that is applied into his creation that you've got to be able to recognize, amen, the ways of the devil. The Bible teaches us to not be ignorant of Satan's devices, and it also tells us that we should not give place to the devil. And so when the devil begins to war against you, when the devil begins to fight against you, and it's not just in temptation of physical things, but it is a very, very real mental thing. Amen. Just picture that your mind is the battleground for almost every battle that you fight with the devil. He's got to get control of your mind. Amen. And you begin to think to yourself, wow, where did that thought come from? Well, we know that it came from the heart. Amen. For from the heart is born adulteries and fornications and lasciviousness and murders and all of these other things. Amen. But somewhere or another, before they enter, this may be a catch 22. Amen. But before they exit your mouth, sometimes they have, generated, populated, tossed to and fro and decided whether you're going to speak them or not. That's why mom and dad and teachers and all of these others would say unto all of us as we were growing up and even as grown-ups, they say, you need to think before you speak. Praise God, because everything that you speak, amen, is not correct. It's not right. And some things may be right, but it's wrong to say. And so you've got to be able to guard these things. You've got to be able to pull these things, put them in their proper places, and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Praise God. Why? Because it is a spiritual warfare. It's not good to sit there and ponder upon negative things. It's not good to sit there and to think upon things. You say, how powerful is a thought? Amen. Jesus said that if a man looks upon a woman, amen, and lust after her, that he has committed adultery in his heart. But it all happens right here in the imagination of the mind. He is scrutinizing and evaluating, amen, that lady, that body, that whatever. He is taking advantage of it with imaginations and stuff. And Jesus said, amen, he has created, or he has committed adultery even in his mind. Amen. So this is the reason that you must, amen, immediately begin to take captivity of these things and bring every thought into captivity. You've got to cast down imaginations as you are pondering these stories and stuff in your life. You got to be able to cast down these imaginations. Amen. Let me just tell you something. The devil is deceptive. The most deceptive and the most subtle beasts of the field. And you have got to be able to recognize that he has no good intentions with you. No little small mind thought, amen, that you may say, well, that's not really too dangerous. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Well, it's a little bit quiet in here tonight. Let me rephrase that. It's a lot quiet in here tonight. Come on, we need to be able to respond to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. We need to be able to respond to the word of God. We don't need to just sit there and listen. Amen. Why? Because you're telling hell. If you're just sitting there, I'm pastoring right now. But if you're just sitting there with your hands in your pockets, your hands cross folded, amen, thumbing through stuff, hell is taking a look at that and saying, they're not really interested. But when you begin to voice and begin to say, amen, you're saying, hell, it's so with my soul as well. When you begin to respond and say amen, when you begin to respond and do these things, amen, you are sending a subtle message back to hell that says, I believe it, just like it's being preached. That is important. Don't let the devil find you idle. Don't let the devil find you just sitting there, because when he finds you sitting there, amen, he's not going to go looking for somebody else. He's got a play place right there in your mind. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And you've got to be able to overcome that. Amen. I understand that you may be sitting there feeling to yourself, you know what? I'm tired. I've worked all day. Amen. You know what? We're probably all tired. Every one of us in here, amen, is probably tired. We all, amen, do these things. Amen. But you know what? If you wasn't having church tonight, you wouldn't be at home in bed right now either. You'd be doing something. You would be busying yourself. You would be working and such like that. Amen. We've got to recognize, amen, that every time church happens, that's the day we get sick. Every time church happens, that's the day we get, that's the time that we get tired. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. And except that we recognize that, the devil's going to get a hand. He's going to get a hold. Amen. And we've got to be able to put a stop to it and stand up, not giving place to the devil and not being ignorant of his devices and saying, hell, the buck stops right here. Praise God. And so we have to engage. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And it goes on. And so then he would say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, and having done all to stand, you stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your loins girt about with truth, having your breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying. There's some action things that you've got to do. You got to pray. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Amen. These are things that we have to do. You cannot just take for granted that I'm a part of the body and somebody is praying and so I'm in the body. No, 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 no. United we stand, divided we fall. And that's what the enemy's got to do. He's got to try to divide you. He's got to try to separate you off into your little island. And no man is an island unto himself. But he's got to separate you off. And when he separates you off, guess what? Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. Amen. Nobody pays attention to me. Everybody just wished that I would leave. Everybody just wished that I would go. Nobody cares. Nobody even knows if I'm there or not and stuff. Come on, somebody. You got to bring these thoughts into captivity. These are just wild, wicked, evil imaginations. Praise God. You got to be able to tear these things down. Amen. That's the way that the enemy is just laughing the whole time. He's pushing behind your back, pushing you right to the edge of the cliff. And somewhere or another, you got to be able to take, amen, you got to be able to stand, therefore, plant both feet and say, you know what? I'm not falling for this. I'm not giving in to this. It's the spiritual man. It's the spiritual man. And if you try to live for God only in a physical capacity, you're going to have a very, very hard time doing it. If all you do is get up every morning, ladies, and put your dress on and fix your hair and make sure everything is good to go and stuff like that and then go out, amen, you're going to do that for a while. But after a while, just the monotony of all of that and stuff like that and not being able to tank up, fill up, and to get strong in the spirit, amen, you're going to be weakened. Men, it's the same way. You cannot rely upon an outward appearance, amen, to fix a physical condition or to fix a spirit. spiritual condition. It's spiritual things that are going to fix spiritual conditions, and the spiritual man's the one that's got to survive. The spiritual man is the one that's going to have to make it. The spiritual man is the one that's going to spend eternity, amen, in heaven or in hell. It's the spiritual man. We've got to make sure that we are engaging ourselves in this war and in this fight, amen, for salvation. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Praise God. And then we get into lesson three. In lesson three, we're just going to look at it as the hardest battle. Praise God. Amen. I don't know what's going on tonight, but you guys, everybody's got me nervous. Everybody is just deathly quiet. Praise God. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody help me and buckle in with me and preach here tonight. Praise God. And so we go back to Romans chapter number 8. And here we began to look through some things. And as we began to walk through it, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I think that we have established that condemnation is of the devil and conviction is of God. If you're convicted, God will draw you unto him. If you're in condemnation, you will be pushed away from him. That's not God pushing you away. That's the devil pushing you away. Praise God. So there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All right? So here's where it all boils down to. Not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, he goes into verse 2. And he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's just stop right there before we go any further. Somebody that says, you know what, I'm tired of living all those rules and regulations. I'm tired of all the laws. I'm tired of all the rules in the church. I'm tired of just living by that. Let me just tell you something. You're going to live by law somewhere. You're going to live by law somewhere. Here Paul says, he said it's the law of the Spirit of life. You say, well, the church has got rules. It does. It does. But the world's got rules too. And it said that it is the law of sin and death. All right? James chapter number 1, verse number 25. James said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty. So say, you know what, if that's where you look at the churches, all those rules and regulations, you got a wrong revelation. It's the law of liberty that has made you free, that has made you free from the bondage of sin. Amen. Continuing therein, be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man's soul, he shall be blessed in his deed. Romans chapter number 7, he talks about a couple of different laws. Paul in there, he said, for I delight in the law of God. And after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Praise God. So don't think that you're going to be free from all law if you decide that you're going to walk away from God. Amen. The devil is a cruel taskmaster. He's a cruel taskmaster. Amen. Amen. It doesn't take much revelation to understand that. Why is it that a 16 and a 17-year-old boy that is running track and field would walk into the opposing school's tent and take a knife and kill somebody else? It's the law of sin. And now you've got parents that are grieving on both sides. You've got parents that are grieving because their son was thrown in jail. You've got parents that are grieving because that their son was killed. It's the law of sin. You can't get on social media very long at all before all of a sudden you start seeing, amen, missing kids from right here in Wichita area. Augusta, Andover, El Dorado, amen, all these missing kids. Say, well, why are they missing? Did they ran away from home? Yeah, they sure did. ran away from home. Why? It's the law of sin. It's the rebellion against authority. Don't want anybody telling me what to do. And so they just run out and just go do their own thing. Or maybe they're kidnapped or whatever and stuff. And then you've got the drugs and you've got all these other things that is there. And all you got to do is look at the faces of meth and see that at, you know, at 20-something years old and a teen and stuff, and they look like they're 30 and 40 and 50 years old because the law of sin is so tall, hard and tough on them. Go take a walk down into the youth detention center and you will see that there's really no empty beds. Why? The law of sin. The law of sin. Amen. They don't care. 12 years of age, 13 years of age, 14 years of age. Amen. I visited a 14-year-old in the youth detention center. Amen. Him sitting on one side of the glass, me sitting on the other side of the glass, talking on the phone. I've talked to 17-year-olds in the youth detention centers and such. Amen. In separate, completely individual, solitary rooms and such like that. Why? Because the law of sin, the devil does not care. I can sit here and Brother Worst could come up after me and we could take all of the time that the night would have until the wee hours of the morning, and we can tell you about young people who messed up. We can tell you about others who also said, I'm going to go, but I'm not going that far. It doesn't work that way, Lot. It doesn't work that way. Why? It's the law of sin. And the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. Amen. And so there are a law. And so Paul continues on in Romans 8 and 3. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Here's the second Adam. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. All right. This is where it's got to start. Somewhere or another, you got to stop walking after the flesh. And this is what we're going to talk about here tonight. Amen. But you got to start walking after the Spirit. Amen. If you're going to be a spiritual person, you got to walk after the Spirit. And he doesn't stop on that, but he goes on and he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let me read from you in the English Standard Version, Romans 8, beginning at verse number 6. And it says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. King James said that the carnal mind is enmity. It just really means that the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. That's a war term. Hostile. It doesn't sit back passively. I want you to think about this and consider this and to take into consideration 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. Amen. When we begin to think about the mind, amen, and he said that if you set the mind on fleshly things, then it's not going to mind the Spirit. For the mind that is set upon the flesh is hostile towards God. Amen. It pushes against God. It wars against God. It battles against God. It's not sitting back passively and minding its own business. That carnal mind is not just going to sit there and wait for you to get out of church. That carnal mind is aggressive, combative. That carnal mind is trying to pull down spiritual thoughts that you have. It is hostile towards the things of God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So no. The carnal mind and the spiritual man can, and the spiritual mind cannot abide together. That's why it is so important that you've got to cast down imaginations, and you've got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You've got to take control of your mind. You've got to think whatsoever things are pure, lovely, honest, just, a good report, any virtue, any praise. You cannot sit back passively and allow these things, amen, to trespass in your mind. You've got to be warring against these things. Having done all to stand therefore and put on the helmet of salvation. I'm not letting your thoughts just be born and generated in my mind, devil. I've got to war against these things. Praise God. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're just going to bring it back to our remembrance, and that he says that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless. The whole spirit, soul, and body. I don't know that we're done with the spiritual man, but we may be. This may be the last part of it. But the whole spirit, soul, and body, collectively, this is all parts. We're talking about the whole man in this. And we've talked about the first man, Adam. Spirit, soul, and body. Infected by sin. And he died. Spiritually, he died. The man Christ Jesus, spirit, soul, and body, affected, tempted, pressured by sin, but yet without sin. Tempted in all manners, in all points, yet without sin. 40 days of fasting. I've never been on a 40-day fast, but I'll tell you, anything past 3 is pretty rough. Like you've heard me say it before. We need to make a little hashtag. Hashtag Davy. Davy's sitting there in my Sunday school class on the front row just shaking his head. What's the matter, Davy? I can't fast. Why can't I? I just get too hungry. Hashtag Davy. 40 days. 40 days of fasting. And the devil finds Jesus at his weakest moment. His weakest moment. And can you imagine Henry fasting 40 days? I'm sorry, I just thought of that. Maybe I have a little touch of ADD. We need to put a string on him. 40 days of fasting wouldn't be much left. Where was I? Okay, so here comes Jesus, 40 days of fasting. I don't think he was skipping through the wilderness. He was a man. He was human, just like us. He was weak.
And the devil found him at his weakest moment and said, "Hey, you sure are hungry right now, aren't you?" Well, I didn't think the devil told the truth. I guarantee you I'm hungry right now. You know, you command these stones to be made bread. You got the power, don't you? 40 days of fasting, weak, feeble. Jesus looked at him and said, "Satan, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Even at his weakest moment, personal. Remember that lesson too, personal. Everything's personal. Got to take this personal. In his weakest moment, he kept fighting. He didn't back up and give in. "I'm so weak. I can't do anything." No, the devil took advantage of a weakened state. Just like the devil wants to take advantage of you. And here comes the devil fighting him in a weakest state. That really shows you how strong the devil is. I'm not knocking his power. He has power. The Bible says so. The Bible says he has power. I'm going to give you authority over all the power, the dunamis, the dynamite power of the enemy. But yet, even in his strongest points, he can't defeat the weakest child of God if you fight back. If you fight, I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how spiritually feeble you are. If you will resist the devil, one of the prerequisites isn't submit yourself therefore unto God and make sure that you've read 50 chapters today and prayed for 2 hours and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No, it's just simply submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. It's active. It's active. It's that hostility, the carnal mind, hostile against God. You've got to be hostile against that carnal nature. He resisted the devil. And so the devil took him to another place and tempted him again. And the devil's not always finished if just once. Say, you know what? If the devil would just quit after one. No. He don't quit after one. He don't quit after two. And so Jesus looking at him in his feeble, weak human body, but the spirit resisted the temptation of the devil. The spirit resisted, stood, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. The spirit stood. The spirit resisted. And Jesus acted again. He said, "Satan, it is written." So Satan took him a third time to the pinnacle and said, "Cast yourself off of this." No, that was the second one. Cast yourself off of this. The third time he came, took him to the pinnacle and said, "Look at all this. I'll give it to you all if you'll fall down and worship me." And the third time Jesus stood, therefore, and resisted the devil and acted and said, "Satan, get thee behind me, for it is written." In his weakest moment, he was able to
to crush the head of the serpent. In his weakest moment, he was able to overcome the temptations of the devil. In his weakest moment, he was able to be victorious simply because he acted. He resisted the devil. He stood there for, and he pushed back, and he overcame. Praise God. Wow. That wasn't Jesus' hardest battle, though. 40 days of fasting, that wasn't his hardest battle. Luke chapter number 22, you find his hardest battle, where we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So you see how all of this plays out? I guess the Lord just kind of put this right into the leading into Easter service Sunday, because this is where we're going, basically to Gethsemane, getting ready to head to Calvary, all right? And so here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying. And there's many, many adjectives that describe this prayer that is happening by the man, Christ Jesus. Bible says, being in great agony. Being in great agony, he cried. And he began to pray, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, not my human will, but thine will be done. One place in Scripture, it said that he was praying so fervently, so fervently that he started sweating. Some of us, we get just a little bit uncomfortable. We start looking for the air conditioning, temperature, thermostat. Oh, I don't want to sweat. He was praying so fervently that he's pouring sweat. The Bible said that his sweat became as great drops of blood. He was so passionate. He was so just pressing, pushing, praying. And as he's praying, he's sweating and pushing. And his sweat became as great drops of blood. His hair is not all fine and combed and dandy. It's plastered to his head because he's been sweating and he's been in agony. I don't perceive Jesus as the painters painted him in his little, with his hands like this. No, I see a man in great agony, the picture of agony on his face, and his countenance betrays the agony that is there. The sweat pouring down his face, his hair plastered to his head. He's pounding on the ground or the altar, whatever it is. And he's praying, oh, if it be your will, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to experience this. I don't want the agony of this, the embarrassment, the shame of all of this. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, the spiritual man begins to cry out. The spiritual man stands, therefore, having his loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness on, submits himself to the will of God and begins to resist the devil, that carnal nature, saying, you don't want to go through this. You don't want to face this. You don't want to. No. The carnal man is saying, get me out of this somehow, some way. And Jesus stood, therefore, resisted the devil. Amen. And began to pray in the spirit. And he said, nevertheless, not my carnal will be done, not my human will be done, not this natural man's will be done, but your, I'm telling you, the hardest battle you will ever fight is not the devil, it is your flesh. That's the hardest battle that you're going to fight. Your flesh. Amen. Every time the devil comes to you and begins to tell you, can easily stand there for and resist the devil. And you can say, it is written. Amen. But your flesh, those thoughts that get in your mind, and you're sitting there in front of the mirror primping and prawning, amen, and sitting there looking at yourself, you know what? I'd look a little bit better if I'd trim my hair a little bit over here and do this and do this. I'd look a whole lot better. Get rid of some of these wild hairs and stuff like that. It would look a lot better. You got to stand, therefore, and resist the devil. Amen. Amen. I'd look a little bit better if I'd put on some makeup. Not me, but. I'd look a little bit better if I'd start putting on some makeup, if I'd start doing this. You got to bring every thought into captivity. You got to cast down imaginations. You got to stand, therefore, against the devil. You got to resist the devil. You got to submit yourself, therefore, to God. Well, you know what? I think I'd look a lot better if I had on some diamonds and some pearls and some beads around the neck, and if I had this and stuff. Oh, wouldn't I look cute? Wouldn't I look? You got to stand, therefore. You got to resist the devil. You got to submit yourself to God, to the laws of God, because the law of sin is trying to destroy you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That's that spirit, that spiritual man fighting against that carnal man. Praise God. That old flesh rise up with inside of you. Amen. That old flesh, that old carnal man riling up inside of you and begins to say stuff like, well, I think I'm going to do it my way. I know what they said down there at the church, but I think I'm going to do it my way. Amen. How many testimonies can be said? I tried it my way and it didn't work. Amen. How many backsliders are out there in the world today? Amen. That if they would really be truthful and they would come in and they would say, you know what? I tried it my way and it didn't work. A lot of them would say, well, I was hurting the church. But if I had known what I knew now, amen, I would have stayed in the church. Amen. Do you think that the devil's not the instigator of all of these things? And you can say, well, I was hurting the church. And the devil's saying, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, my pot's playing out. Everything's working just like I want it. I'm telling you, offense is going to come. Amen. Hurts are going to come. Things are going to come. Trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. But somewhere or another, you got to bow up your back like an old saw log. And you got to stand, therefore, and submit yourself to God and resist the devil and put on the whole armor of God and cast down imaginations and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and you've got to fight the good fight of faith. The spirit of assumption has probably killed her 10,000s. People assuming, well, I don't think they like me. That's an assumption. Well, I know that they were talking about me. That's an assumption. And that's the devil. I said, that's the devil. Somebody needs to get mad at the devil. Devil has been playing around with you toying you around, amen, like a little puppy dog. Amen. Dog, devil's got you on a little chain, and every time you go to try to do something, he just jerks your chain and whips you right back over into his line. Amen. Somebody needs to stand there for. Somebody needs to resist the devil. Somebody needs to wash and wipe your mind and cast down imaginations and bring into captivity every thought. Amen. Somebody's got to do this. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But together we can make a force that all of hell would begin to tremble and shake at. When the church comes together and when they begin to pray, the place was shaken. Amen. You may not be able to do that by myself, and I may not be able to do it by myself, but when we come together and a threefold, twofold, the threefold cord is not easily broken, when we come together, something happens. Something happens in the heavens. Amen. And God gets the glory. Praise God. Let's stand. Hebrews 7 said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. And then Peter said, you know why he did all of this? For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you would follow in his steps. That's why he did it. You can't get your mind, your hope, your dependency on man. Praise God. I got to be saved. Yes. I got to be saved. I have no intentions of going to hell. I'm not planning on going. And if I am going to hell, it ain't going to be on an apostolic pew. I can promise you that. Amen. I'm going to go first class. I'm going to have fun, because hell's going to be long and hot and horrible. But I have no intentions of going to hell, no plans going to hell. Amen. I want to be saved. Amen. And there's a law of God that I've got to obey, or I have to submit myself to the law of sin. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter number 7. He talked about, so I find another law in my mind, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity. That don't sound like liberty. That don't sound like freedom. You got to stand. Yes. You got to stand, therefore. You got to resist the devil. You got to submit yourself, therefore, to God. And you got to do something against the devil. Yes. I don't preach this way because that I don't like you. I don't like somebody. I'm going to tell you who I don't like. I don't like the devil that's fighting you. But there's some battles I can't win for you. And I get so mad at the devil. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he got off the phone with some parents that's having problems with their kids. And he said, I'm just telling you what, Brother Cowan. He said, if I could just catch the devil, he said, I'd put a whooping on him that he'd never forget. Yeah, that's the way pastors feel. That's the way we really feel. I don't like watching the devil play with you and toy around with you and war against you and fight against you. You understand, if I have to come talk to you about something, there's been a lot of agony that's gone on before then. I don't like the devil playing around with God's people. And so we have to preach to let the people, to help the people to understand that the devil's fighting you. Take out this term of passive aggressiveness when it comes to the devil.
He's just trying to butter you up before he destroys you. And you've got to realize that. You've got to understand that. You've got to pray. You've got to put that helmet of salvation on to guard your thoughts. And you've got to understand this is the enemy fighting against my spirit and my soul. Body still looks good, but the spirit and the soul are pretty sickly. But you understand that if you have cancer of the stomach, it's going to kill your whole body. It's going to kill you. Because it's not just going to be passive in the stomach. It's going to go everywhere. You could have thyroid cancer, and they say that if there's any cancer that you're going to have, you want it to be thyroid cancer. I don't want cancer. But you understand that that little thyroid that gets cancer, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. Little things can kill you spiritually. What did Jesus say? He said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's why you have to cast down every imagination. And you have to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You can't let the little things, because the little things build up. Little things become big things. All fighting against my spirit, soul, and body. My spirit and my soul may be in the ICU ward, but my body looks okay. Suit, tie. That's why Paul said, I pray that your whole body, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming the Lord Jesus. It's not about just taking care of the outside, and you have to. It's making sure the inside as well. And so there's times outside of Tuesday night prayer meeting that you got to go find an altar. And that altar is a lonely altar because you invited three friends to come with you. Peter, James, John, would you come with me? And they went, but they didn't pray like Jesus needed them to pray. Come on. Peter couldn't do for Jesus what Jesus had to do. James couldn't do for Jesus what Jesus had to do. John couldn't do for Jesus what Jesus had to do. Jesus had to do it. I'm thankful for those that will come pray and help in the time of need, in the time of call. Somewhere or another, I got to find an altar for myself. And if nobody else is praying, I just got to buckle down and pray. Why? Because I got to stand. Therefore, I got to submit myself to God. I got to resist the devil. I got to cast down imaginations, bring into captivity every thought. I have to do some things. Why? Because this is my toughest battle, that spiritual man. And you've heard it said before, whatever dog you feed the most, that's the one that's going to win. If you keep feeding that carnal dog, he's going to win. But if you feed the spiritual one, he's going to win. So there's times that I didn't know if I could pick myself up with my own bootlaces. I said, you know what? It's got to stop here. I got to stand. I got to submit. I've got to resist the devil. I've got to do some things. And so I'm going on a 3-day fast. And that old carnal man slaps me in the back of the head and says, what are you thinking? You know you're getting ready to hang drywall for the next 3 days. This is the worst time for you to go on a 3-day fast. Choose a different time. No. And so for 3 days I fasted. And I hung drywall every day. And you're saying somewhere or another, you've got to stand. You've got to submit. You've got to resist. You've got to cast down. You've got to bring into captivity. You have to do it. And when you do it, here we go into Easter. That old carnal man dies. But the spiritual man rises and reigns. Praise God. Amen. These altars are open here tonight.